I'm glad you're excited. Good time, huh? Thanks for being here. I'm glad to be here. This is my first time in Utah. Sharon, it really is. And so I'm glad to be here. There's two states I haven't been in yet. There was three until today, till right now. So I still have two left. It's Wyoming and Nevada, so. And yeah, I've had invites to both. I just hadn't had invites at the right time when I could go. So, but this worked out great. And I'm here, and I'm glad to be. Man, there's hunger here. Love for Jesus here, huh? It's exciting traveling. I don't know. I mean, some people are like, ooh, I don't know about traveling. I just love it. And I just get to meet folks. I mean, God is up to something. He has people all over the place that really love him and that are really growing in the truth of who he is and what he's done. Amen? So, and you just feel the excitement in here. You guys are great. I can tell. I like everybody, but I can just tell I like you. So we're going to have fun, man. We are going to have fun. Yeah. So worship was just amazing. That I Exalt You song is timeless. Yeah. Man, it's as powerful now as the first time I heard it. God, you're good. I don't normally do this. It might sound funny to some, but I don't. I'm usually just ready to roll, but let's just pray. Can we pray? You guys are praying people, ain't you? Yeah. So you really did the have your way thing, and it's true. Just open your hearts. You're here. Come on, we're here. So Father, really, truly have your way. Say what you want to say to all of our hearts. Father, if they would have handed you a microphone tonight, you know exactly what you'd say to this room. You wouldn't even have to blink. You know the room. You know every person. And you know exactly what you'd say to this room, and let those be the words that come forth, and let those be the words that settle in our hearts. Yes. God, I thank you for ears to hear and comprehend and understand, and more than that, to become everything you've paid for. God, I just thank you for the joy of life in you, and I thank you it's ours in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Awesome. So I didn't come here, and I don't have to try. It's not my time now, so I'm going to try to be happy and put on a face and minister to you. You're just excited in Jesus when you understand the gospel. One of the first things I realized when I first got saved, I read where the angel came in the field, and the shepherds were there, and Jesus had been born. And the angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings, good news, good tidings. I bring you a message of tidings, of news. That's good." And it said, the angel said, of good tidings of what? Great joy. That means great joy comes from understanding and seeing and realizing the good news. So you're not trying to be joyful. You're not trying to be okay. You're not looking for a spirit of joy or an anointing of joy or a moment of joy. Yeah? Yeah. Good tidings, great joy. The Bible says it's joy unspeakable. That sounds like you can hardly explain it or put it into words. And when people aren't experiencing that joy, they think your joy is maybe denial or put on or a farce. Yeah? We get so used to living the way we've lived that sometimes we judge truth by the way we've lived. And we think the way we've been is the way it is. Well, I read we can get born again. We can get transformed. We can have new life through Jesus Christ. We can put off the old man and put on the new man. Yeah, I read the Bible. It's right here behind me. It's a really good book, my friend. When I started reading the Bible, you know what I did? I read the Bible to find out who God was, because a lot of people said a lot of things my whole life. And I was never really attracted to what I heard about God. I was a little worried. Anybody was ever worried? A little worried? A little nervous? Really unsure. Like the only thing I knew growing up, no preacher ever told me what I understand nowadays. And I'm not mad at preachers, and it's because I didn't know you, Shannon. But honestly, it was always about my sin. It was always about making sure I prayed a prayer, making sure I stay in church, and you want to go to heaven. It was really just get forgiven so you can get to heaven. Get forgiven so you can get to heaven. So really, it didn't change my life. It left me a forgiven, same guy. Well, I'm sure you didn't know me then. I knew me then. I'm not the same guy, nor do you have to say the same person. There's new life through Jesus Christ, people. It's not positional. It's not just a spiritual phrase. You're not just seated in heavenly places with Christ, positional. Man, he lives in you. You live from where he is. You can look through his eyes. You can think like he thinks because he shows us who he is. So when I read my Bible, I wanted to find out who God was. And I did, because the Word of God reveals him. God and the Word are one, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word... The Word became, right? So when I found him through the Word, this is what I didn't realize. When I found him through the Word, I realized all of a sudden, the more I read, I found me in him. I found the truth about me. I found what he saw me to be, what he saw me through his son to be, what he desired for me to be, what he created me to be. The truth came and began to set me free. And I'm telling you, you don't have to try to be joyful. Circumstances have nothing to do with it. A surprise phone call, trauma, tragedies, the things that we're all trying to avoid. You can get a grid on truth and why you're here and walk through all those things and come out truly okay, even though they're all real. Physical loss is real, but you don't grieve as if you have no hope. You have to have a bigger vision than physical loss. Unless you love less the things that are dearest to you, you'll by no means be his disciple. So I guess in all my getting, I ought to get understanding. Because I grew up hearing what I don't know won't hurt me. That's what I grew up hearing. Did you ever hear that out here in Utah? But when I read this book, it says what I don't know is destroying me. Well, that sounds the total opposite. I wonder why I grew up with what you don't know won't hurt me when this book says what you don't know is destroying you. I bet that's not an accident, that the language I was trained by isn't what he's speaking. Well, what you see is what you get. The Bible says don't ever live by what you see. What you see is subject to change. The things unseen are eternal. Well, if I were you, I wouldn't get my... Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 6 says that hope is the anchor of your soul, passes through the veil into his presence. The Bible says, get your hope up! And we heard this self-focused, self-centered, self-protecting phrase our whole lives that said, well, if I were you, I wouldn't get my hope up. When faith is the substance of things... And it's impossible to please God without faith. So if you don't get your hope up, you can't get to where it's pleasing to God. It's not an accident that we were taught a language that he's not speaking. Well, God helps those who help them. Not in the Bible. Well, God works in mysterious ways. No, he's come out like he is through his son. And Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. And I understand the mystery behind God. I understand there's things about God and beginning and man and creation that we really don't have an answer to, that make him God, that you really can't find an answer to. But when you go to intention and purpose, when you look for destiny, reason for being, and the why behind things, I would say he's really clear. So in all our getting, let's get understanding. So I'm going to pour out my heart here tonight. And just encourage you all, because we're all in this same boat, because he died once for all. So everybody's in. The worst thing you could do is not believe the gospel. It's not the worst thing you could do is not go to church. The worst thing you could do is not believe the gospel. There's people that go to church and don't believe the gospel. Hello? You don't let anything take the place of knowing him. Knowing him will change your life. When you believe the gospel, man, that's an invite. You're going to start to get to know him, because the gospel is good news. All of a sudden you realize you have value, you have purpose, you have potential. You're not just sin waiting to happen. You're a son, a daughter, manifesting, coming to fruition, growing up into him in all things. Yeah, you're way more than waiting to fail. Come on. Come on, a lot of us have found our value through our lives. You have to find your value through his life. When you get a good look at him, you can get a good look at you, because he paid to redeem you. And what he wants to redeem is well worth living.
Yeah?
Don't let anybody lie to you. Don't let your own soul lie to you. Don't let the way you were brought up lie to you. What people said and whispered and misunderstood. Stop. Don't let anything speak louder than truth. Truth is in Jesus, and truth will make you free. Amen. And this isn't some motivational speech. This is the truth of the gospel. Why would the Son of God put himself in the womb of a woman by the person of the Holy Spirit and be born of a woman, become a man to pay the price for mankind? If he didn't think you're worth that price. Come on, why aren't we preaching value and purpose and potential all over the world instead of sin? Come on, when you start seeing who you are and your value raises because of the gospel, not because of self-righteousness, not because of vanity and the world's pride. I'm talking about the truth. I'm talking about when you see what he sees about your life and your value raises, you will live up to that value. People in addictive cycles, people in addictive behaviors, people that cycle in their soul and emotions, most of the time, they just don't see the value of who they are through him. And they're letting life speak louder than truth. That's why there's no freedom, because freedom comes from truth. And all of a sudden, how you're doing is based on how it's going and how you're feeling and what you're thinking. Now you're just as good as the day unfolded. Instead of as good as he has been the whole time. See, here's the raw truth about this. Nobody has to do me right for me to be all right. I'm not even living for you to love me. I'm having a good time in him. I woke up this morning for one reason. To be more like him, to shine, to walk in love, to be in Christ and Christ in me. I did not wake up to get anything from you. I woke up to follow him. That makes me very free, and that empowers me to love you, because now I don't need you, I love you. Now where I do need you, come on Tommy, where I do need you is to lock arms with me in truth so we can cover the earth with his glory. So when I go back home and wake up in PA and he wakes up here in Utah, we're both living for the same reason. All of a sudden we have a unity of faith because we see the same thing, we live the same thing, we manifest the same thing. Now we're sowing the same seed into the crop, into the our harvest field of men, and the crop that we get is the same. Christ in us. Yay. And I don't know when I'll ever see him again, but we can live as one. We can walk in the unity of faith. Why? Because he can wake up for God's image and I can wake up for God's image. Or we can get distracted and let this matter more, let what they said, all of a sudden live for a little prestige, a little esteem, a little be noticed. We can just live to love. We can just live to walk like Jesus. Man, if you let that be the motive and the reason for your life, just think if you let the gospel teach you this one thing, that when you wake up every morning, nobody owes you a thing and you woke up to shine. What if you throw everything else away and don't let anything matter more? You just woke up to shine and bring honor. We sang it about bringing honor and glory to him. How do you bring honor and glory to him? You live who he is. You live what he paid for. You don't just sing loud. You live loud. Come on. Oh. Why would he pay this price if your life wasn't worth living? You show me one person that's ever paid a lot for something they didn't think had value. Now see, no preacher ever taught me that. I wish I'd have met you sooner. You'd have told me that probably. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know what he said? Depends on the season. See, we're all learning and growing. There's things we thought we believed years ago, but now we see and go, whoa, duh. Yeah? I know this is going to sound basic, but we need to just camper for a second. It's here. I'm not going to try to qualify it. I'll just go there. Listen, sometimes I feel like I say the same things over and over and over and over and over. But then I hear Paul, it's not tedious for me to write the same thing over and over. For you, it's a safeguard. Why? These little foxes, little mindsets, way that seemeth right to man, feelings, emotions that are degenerate, that are still attached to the old man, seem to slip people away, and the little foxes creep in and keep stealing the precious fruit that's on the vine. You keep the same thing over and over, and all of a sudden you start believing something and get established in something and start acting on something. Wonder if somebody actually starts waking up every morning and takes authority over their soul and their emotions and just stands in their bedroom every morning and says, you know what? Doesn't matter how I feel today. Doesn't matter what my job's asking of me. It doesn't matter who I'm working beside or how my boss has been treating me. What matters is mercy woke me up today and I have another day to shine. I have another day to live in the Spirit. I have another day to walk in truth. And faith is going to say that matters more than anything else. And I'm not going to let anything take its place. I wonder if that's what faith is. Wonder if that's what faith is, and wonder if that's where your emotions get restored and renewed, and wonder if that's where your life gets realigned. Just waking up and putting a strong reason for being behind your life so you ain't just existing and getting through the day. And all of a sudden the gospel's reduced to a survival kit and we're trying to make it. Make it to what? You already made it. You're in Him and He's in you. You're never going to die. Your sins are forgiven. You're righteous in His sight. Sounds like we already made it. Yeah. See, I know what we get tricked into. We get tricked into this self-serving gospel that just gets me through life without as much trouble. And the reason we're afraid of trouble is because we really don't know who we are and why we are. Trouble is not your trouble. Your fight is never people or adversity. Your fight is the good fight of faith. Your fight is remaining in the place that you're called and created to live and not being moved from that place, come hell or high water. Come on. If there's no turning or shifting or shadow in Him, why are we so moved? Why are we up and down? Why do people ask us how we're doing and we say, well, keep me in prayer, brother, going through this and that? Why do we decide how we're doing by what we're going through? It gives us a way. We're just praying for a better day instead of a transformed one. We're just looking for our day to go better. That's why our day is moving us. That's why we're only as good as the day. Come on, if your motive wasn't living for a better day wouldn't move you. Come on, man. No, that's all right if you agree with me. I don't mind. You guys good? Yeah. Come on, this is just stuff to cheer you on. I'm just cheering you on. Why? Because it's good tidings, great joy. So if something's cutting into the great joy, we ought to talk about it. We ought to find out what that thing is. Amen. Some of us are looking for joy. It's in Him. It's nowhere else. If you don't find it in Him, you're not going to find it. Joy is in Him. Your identity's in Him. It's nowhere else. It isn't how fancy somebody talks to you, how sweet somebody talks to you, or how encouraging somebody talks to you. I realize there's a season somebody might need to say the right thing at the right time, but your true encouragement comes from the Lord. Your identity comes from Jesus. You know who you are in Him, and you get settled in that. Nothing else can change that. People can seemingly let you down, et cetera, but see, you're not living for that moment. Like, you don't have expectations on men, so you're not getting caught off guard. Oh, it might surprise you so-and-so did that, but it won't never infringe on your value, your destiny, your purpose, so you won't react to them. You always respond to them. You always have love to give. You always have mercy to show. When you're living for people to do you right, you're done wrong when they don't do right. Come on. And I'm done living that way. I'm not selling cheap if I'm not for sale. And I've been bought with a price and my life is not my own. Yeah? So then why are we caught up with ourselves? Why are we just praying for a better day? Why are we applying all our faith for smooth circumstances? Why aren't we applying our faith to live more like Jesus in the moment so people see who He is through our lives, not just our words? Because if they don't see Him in you, why would they really want what they can't see? Why would they want what you say if they can't see Him in you? Then all we get is a head nod. Now we just have an agreement on theology. Jesus never paid for us to agree on theology. He paid to put His life inside of us so that we can live in Him and walk in Him. Live and move and have our being in Him. Come on, this thing is real. It's relational and it's amazing. And see, my motor's turned on for 20-some years now. June 9th will be 24 years. I don't know what's wrong with me other than I believe what I flew here to tell you. In fact, watch this. I'm not just some preacher traveling, not here saying you got to give me an offering. We didn't even talk that stuff. That stuff's not even on my mind. If that was on my mind, I'd pick the biggest churches out of my invite pile. I wouldn't be here. I'm here because I believe what I'm preaching. And I've never been in Utah, and I figured I got to start somewhere. I got a piece of ground in front of me. Woo! This is trouble, buddy. You set me up with a piece of ground right in front of me and a whole bag of seed, man. I got the Holy Ghost rototiller. I'm telling you, we're going to get somewhere. But I'm excited. I wouldn't have flew here if I didn't believe this. I could just stay home. I'm having fun. I'm glad to be here. I think you can tell that. I didn't have no trouble flying here. It was awesome. I just enjoy traveling. I enjoy what I get to do. I'm excited about this opportunity. Why? I believe every word I'm saying. Why? Because I read my Bible? No, because I've lived it for 24 years. So I didn't come to bring you a doctrine. I came to open up what I've learned in my heart to be real and true. What's kept me. Yeah? You think everybody's just treated me right and I've just had this smooth ride and everything's going well for 24 years? You think my kids just always made perfect decisions and everything was always great and there was never challenges? Come on. We are not Christians for the day to go better. And we're not Christians for the day to go the way we prefer. We're Christians to shine. We're Christians so when the day does happen, we look like Him. So I guess my days for offense and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and jealousy and pride and competitiveness is over. I guess because I can't find it in Him, why should it be okay in me? Why? Because the world taught me? Because the way that seemeth right taught me? Because I was taught by another language, homeschooled in the wrong home? Come on, I'm born again. You have one teacher. He's the Christ. We've learned a lot of things from a lot of other things. You got one teacher. Call no man on earth your teacher. You've got one. He's the Christ. He said, learn of me. If we didn't learn it from Him, where'd we get it? If we don't see animosity and anger and unforgiveness in Him, where'd we get it? If you don't see discouragement in Him, it should never be in us, because He was totally pure, totally perfect, totally judged, totally misread, totally unaccepted, and totally perfect. Never wrong, treated like He was always wrong. Completely right, treated like He was way out there. And gave His life so we could have His. This thing is not a passport to heaven. It's not some free ride to heaven. It's heaven coming back into you, His kingdom come, His will be done right now on earth as it is in heaven. And He's not just talking about healing there. He's not just talking about no cancer in heaven, no cancer on earth. Who knows that's true? We can go for that and get faith through that concept. But He's talking about attitude and heart and motive. Come on, there's no animosity in heaven. There's no competitiveness in heaven. There's no pride in heaven. There's no offense and unforgiveness and bitterness and unresolved conflicts in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why is it always about the power of God when we preach? Why isn't it about the heart of God? We're trying to move in miracles and sometimes we see them, but we can't forgive one another. That's not cool. I promise you this, everything He does flows out of the beauty of who He is. We lay a hold of who He is and what He does just flows because it's who He is. If you just focus on what He does, it could be impersonal. You can get in tune with your gifting, wrap your identity around how He uses you instead of who He is in you. All of a sudden your gifting, the manifestation in your life, takes the place of the identity of Christ in your life. All of a sudden you serve the Lord instead of manifest the Lord. All of a sudden you're doing ministry instead of being a son. Now you're only as good as people are receiving you, and you're a little self-conscious, and you're reading your posts, and you're reading the comments, and you're looking for... Because it matters. but it doesn't. Are we okay? I flew all the way here to tell you this stuff, I guess. I didn't have any on my mind before I got here. But now that I'm standing here and it's on my tongue, we might as well just go for it. Amen. So little foxes, they spoil the fruit of the vine. Let's be fruitful vines. Let's get these foxes out of our lives. Let's stop letting things matter more that don't matter most. Let's stop wrapping so much faith around circumstances instead of how you respond in them. I mean, you can pray for the fires to go out, but the most authority you'll have to do that is when you already know the fire won't change anything. When you pray for the fire to go out because you're afraid of it, you lose your authority over it. And then your prayer becomes a principle in the Bible you're quoting instead of authority from heaven. Are you with me? Yes. Come on, whatever you fear, you have no authority over. You can't just read all the scriptures on the topic and start quoting them. You have to get a grip that no matter what, there's things that don't change. No matter how they treat me, no matter how this turns out, watch. Deep down in your heart, you got to understand stuff. Whether they live or die, he doesn't change, and neither do you. I know that sounds difficult for people, and they think that's a compromise or a little unbelief. No, you got to settle that in the beginning, that how I see him is through Jesus, not circumstances. The truth about him I already found. I'm not finding as life unfolds. I've settled that he loves me. Losing a job, wrecking a car, and my spouse going crazy all in a week doesn't question his love. His love's already settled. See, this thing isn't about me and my provision. It's about him in me, and he already settled that. I'm rooted and grounded in love. Amen. That means life unfolding doesn't have the voice to question what I know. Why is that important? Because faith worketh through love. So if you don't have love settled, where's faith coming from? If you don't know he's for you, how can you pray faith? If you don't know he's good, how can you pray faith? A lot of times our prayer is more of a challenge, more of a hope. Most of the time, we pray because we're in trouble, not because we're in covenant and have answers. We're usually problem-driven in prayer. We don't pray because we have answers, we pray because we have trouble. Are you with me? Which is already a trap. It's a self-conscious place. It's a survival place. And a lot of people don't do well there. And then time begins to eat you up. Yeah? We okay? Or am I feel like I'm really scattergunning, but you guys are getting something, right? Yeah, I'm not too worried about how I feel. I'm like, wow, I feel like it's rapid fire. I'm over here, bam, and then I hit some over here and come back, bop, 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 bop. I don't know what's going on right now. But I came to preach the gospel, cheer you on. Listen, demeaning attitudes, like attitudes that don't produce life are a dime a dozen. They're too easy to slip into. You got to guard your heart against those things. Just frustration, anger, whatever. Whatever. That's from hell, not heaven. Can you picture God just looking at the earth and he goes, whatever. Could you picture going to pray to God on a rough day when you just ain't getting it right and he says, whatever. How easy is it? If you don't guard your heart, how easy is it to just be frustrated and get so self-centered that you don't even realize it's self-centeredness? You even let people, their demeanor, their personality bother you. That is so self-righteous and deceived. That's causing everybody, forcing everybody to live up to your preference. That's making your preference Lord. It's so proud and self-righteous, it's amazing. Think about it. All of a sudden, you just want everybody to be the way you prefer or they bother you. You say, well, you can't tell me, brother, that people don't get on your nerves. I got new nerves. They would have got on my old nerves, but I traded them in for new life. I read it in my Bible that if any man's a new, if he's in Christ, he's a new. Old things, behold. How many? Oh, see, I got this so backed up. So they don't get under my skin. I got new skin. And what is that new skin? It's a new perspective and a new view that everybody's worth the blood and everybody has purpose, potential, and value. And in our great diversity, we find true unity because we're all called to the same thing. So love in me wants to live in a way that brings that out in you, not judges that in you. That's what Jesus would tell you, I promise. If he was standing here, I believe it with all my heart. Because here's what you can do. You can get all the language. You can sing all the right songs and live from all the wrong places. That's really real. And all of a sudden you know all about God, but reveal through your life that you haven't had intimacy with him and you don't know him. See, eternal life, I know we've just cheated ourselves on this. We've made eternal life a prayer we all pray called the sinner's prayer. That's what we've made eternal life in America. Jesus never said that one time, never made that the push. He said, this is eternal life, John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that you might know him. Not know about him, not quote scripture, not get a theological degree. Not study your Bible and cross-reference the A's, the B's, the 1's, and the 2's and preach a sermon. But that you might know him. Eternal life is that you might know him. You know that 1 Timothy 1:5 says the goal of our instruction is love? If your purpose in Christianity isn't taking you to becoming love, then we have to question why we're Christians. The goal of your instruction, the purpose of the commandment, is love. He's not talking about being loved by God. He's talking about becoming the love of God. Being loved by God is just the beginning. Becoming the love of God is the finished work of the cross. The cross is not paid in full when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. The cross is paid in full when his nature is restored back to love. It's Matthew 16, when he's denied him. A lot of us praying that prayer to go to heaven, it's for ourselves. It's not even for the kingdom. It's not even for his great name. Sometimes it's with a cross finger thing, hoping he heard, hoping he forgave, and hoping I'm in. Yeah. And we still pray over our food, and now I lay me down to sleep. Man, we're worried. I'm just saying. But it has nothing to do with the goal of Christianity. See, the goal of Christianity is that you become something, not receive something. You come to a service like this, just in all your ambition is what God might do instead of how he can make you more like him. The whole goal is becoming more and more what he paid for. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Doesn't the Bible say they'll know them by their fruits? We sing. They'll know that we're Christians by our love, because that's scriptural. So it's all about becoming something, not getting something. How many times do we put all our emphasis in getting something from God instead of becoming the expression of who he is? He calls us the body of Christ. See, this isn't heresy. It's not blasphemy. It's so scriptural. He calls us the body of Christ. Look it up. It means the embodiment of Christ, the body of Christ. We embody him. Why'd he tell us to lay hands on the sick? Because when we touch, he touches. People that don't understand, well, God will just heal if he wants to. Stop. You represent him. Yes, he can heal if he wants to. I get that. He's sovereign and almighty and amazing. But he set it up this way to live in you and you to touch so that when he touches, you touch, he touches. I was doing a service years ago. It was a healing service, teaching, training. Who knows my buddy Todd? Okay. So my buddy Todd would come to those healing services when he first got saved just to learn. And he would sit there and cry. He's so fun. And he would be like, dude. I mean, he had the dude down. He didn't even have the dreads yet, but he had the dude down. He was like, dude, this is real. I'm like, well, yeah, it's real. That's where he got, like, at the healing services, he just got, he got on fire. Because he came up to me one day, this guy was healed of a strain of leukemia. I think there was only 80 people ever diagnosed with a strain of leukemia, terminal, no answers for it, and he was completely healed. So the lady came and stood and read the email from the doctor, and Todd's just crying. He comes up, he says, dude. I said, dude. He said, this is really real. I said, yeah, it's real. He said, if it works here, which isn't the right terminology, that was just his, he's a few months old, the Lord. If it works here, it'll work out there. I said, yep. I said, it's really, it's not that it works. It's what he did. It's what he, who he, it's what he paid. It's how he sees people he loves. The same thing you're seeing here, buddy, you can see out there. And I told him a couple of testimonies of people I saw healed in my life and things. That boy just left the service. God just took him and ramped him up and put him on a whole nother. He got brainwashed by the Lord in that 30-second moment. He said, dude, if it works here, it'll work out there. I said, well, yeah. He went, brainwashed. He looked at the door, and he's never come back. And it's real. It's Todd gets persecuted horribly. It grieves my heart how horribly. He doesn't care. He really doesn't. When you know Jesus and people say bad things about you, you hurt for them because they have no clue what they're saying. Yes. Like when you're walking in joy, when you're laying on your bed and you have so much peace you can't describe it, and people are persecuting you for something they're interpreting you said, right. Nitpicking, yeah. Calling it their calling. God's watchman on the wall. You probably need his heart before you get his eyeballs. But anyway, but you think I'm going to lay on my bed with peace I can't describe and be bothered by persecution. And Todd's the same way. But I know him personally. That boy took that phrase to such an extreme, but it's not an extreme to God. I've walked through airports with Todd. This is not a joke. Like he gets persecuted horribly. But I've spent a lot of time with that boy. He's so much fun. He's taught me a lot, more than the word dude. I used to think the only impartation was the word dude. But now that I'm really thinking about it, he's taught me more. And he loves me and respects me, but I respect Todd. We've gone through the airport more than I can remember, where we'll go through the airport and come back on a trip. And I'm not talking about anything else. I'm just talking the airport. When I get home, I can't recall and run by my mind all the faces of people I saw cry. And people are persecuting that. I can't remember the people I saw cry because it's off the wall. Like he'll just stop. Hey, dude, he'll see you. Hey, dude. And then he'll get a little word on top of praying for this, even if it's a hard guess and you can't check it. He'll still look right in your eyes, say something, bam, and you'll be like, thanks, man. He'll hug you. He'll go halfway back and stop some little girl. Hey, what's going on with that? I don't want you to worry about your mother. Mother, why do you say you've been worried about how who? It's just boom, boom. I don't even know how we're getting to the gate. Like I'm like. And you want to persecute that. It's so beautiful. And then you get to the hotel. True stories. You get to the hotel. We're going to do Power and Love. And he's just living this thing. We get to the hotel. This big dude standing there checking us in. I mean, it's a big dude. He says, whoa, man, you're a big dude. He says, yeah. He says, you were a great football player in college. You were heading to the NFL. He said, right tackle. You played right tackle. Guy goes, who in the beep are you? How do you know me? He said, Jesus knows you, man. Jesus knows everything, and he lives in me. That's what he said. that's what he said to the guy. I'm like, oh. He goes, you hurt your knee. It wiped out your hopes of the NFL. You had to stop playing. It's your right knee. You hurt it playing football in college. He says, dude, that's crazy. He said, no, it's Jesus. He said, and you're going to love this. He goes right behind the counter and disappears. Disappears. He's down on his knees. And he's got the guy by the knee. And the guy's just standing there. He said, I need you to deep bend, do whatever you need. This guy's doing this. Big dude. He says, I love you, man. I love you. Man, Jesus, I love you, man. The guy, it's a big dude. Looked like he took my legs and sewed them to his shoulders. And you want to persecute that because you don't understand. And then you got to be careful because the Bible says you'll mock and scoff. Men will mock and scoff the things they don't understand. You know what the Bible says? Watch how perverted things got. Bible says be slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. Slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. What have most of us been most of our life? Ticked off, got a whole lot to say, and don't want to hear it. It's not an accident. It's perversion. Love lays down its life for another. Guess what the opposite does? Lives at the expense of. Now, how many people have we lived at the expense of? In our own homes and family. You say, well, I don't live at the expense of nobody. You have an attitude that puts pressure on your home and doesn't produce life and forces them to respond. You're living at their expense. You just make it all about you. You get moody. You do the silent treatment to your spouse. It's called control and manipulation, and you're revealing you don't know Jesus like we sing. Because he would never live that way. And it's called living at the expense of others. And guess what you're on the planet for? To love. And guess what love does? Lays down its life. See, when a guy comes smiling and preaching like that, there ain't no way out of it. You can yell butt, and your heart doesn't even believe your yell butt. You can yell about all you want because you're mad and you're sticking to your rights and nation and they did too far. Well, how would you feel if? Well, you don't know my situation. But your own heart doesn't even believe the yell but. Because Jesus wouldn't respond that way. So he never taught you that, and he's the teacher. So where'd you learn it? You learned it from Adam, from the fallen state of man. You were born into Adam and you must be born. So Romans 5, every man born into Adam, we were all born into the perversity of what he became, separated from God. We turned that into a prayer that takes us to heaven someday instead of getting out of the perversity and getting back into new life. I don't want an attitude in my life that doesn't produce life. I don't want an attitude in my life that hinders the nature of God. I don't want to be mad at you. I don't even want permission to be mad at you, no matter what picture you paint. Yeah, but wonder if they throw it away. Stop your yell butting. Wonder if God yell butted you. Come on. Wonder if God yell butted your life. Wonder if you finally repented. And 3 weeks ago, he yell butted because you crossed a line. And you got into some scenario where, you know, I'll love them, but can't find that in the Lord, can you? Then where'd we learn this stuff? Could you picture somebody coming to this altar and being sincere and crying their eyes out before the Lord, and their heart is so ready for change, and God just showing up and just sitting above them? Oh, it's you. You know, I've been waiting for this for a long time, but now I'm not even so sure where we stand. I mean, 6 months ago, I convicted you so clear. You know, 6 months. Yeah, you know. Well, I don't know why you didn't come then. You come now. Your back's against the wall. This is probably more about you, huh? I should just use a little God discernment. caused a lot of hell and pain in the last 6 months. You could have avoided if you'd have just listened to me. Do you know how many times you didn't listen when I made it clear? I mean, I don't even know where our trust stands. I don't even know if I like you. See, you know why you're laughing so hard? Because you know there's no way that could ever be God. Well, here's my concern. If we're made for His image, why is it okay if it's us? We know it can't be God. Why is it okay if it's us? Because we've been that way all our lives and we just accept that's us. Well, that's us. That's God. This is us. He calls us one. He said He's firstborn among many brethren. He said we're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. He said the things I do, you'll do if you believe. There's a few scriptures for you. So all of a sudden we put Jesus in our shoes and try to put our words in His mouth, and it sounds hilarious. Ought to sound hilarious in yours. Because He never taught you to think that way or speak that way. Do you ever read in your Bible where Jesus is just hanging out? He's just hanging out on the Mount of Olives in the morning, up all night praying. He don't seem to sleep much in the Bible. But did you ever read the chapter where He's just sitting there bummed out in the Mount of Olives and Peter comes along and says, Lord, what is it? Well, Peter, I don't know, man. I just need to be alone, man. I just ain't feeling it today. I just been thinking all night long, man. Like people really don't appreciate me, Peter. I mean, I go out of my way. I do what I can. The other day, remember when they tracked us down? And it came over the other shore. You remember I called them on it and they all just walked away. They just wanted another meal. Like I feed them and then they come back to feed them. Like I'm their chef or something. They don't want to hear what I have to say. And then when I do speak, they want to bicker, backbite. I mean, sometimes I wish the Lord didn't let me know their thoughts because their thoughts aren't cool. I just need time alone. I just. They just don't appreciate me. Remember Capernaum? Remember all the people we healed? Remember all of them healings when we were praying and you guys were walking around and I was, yeah, oh, I know, it was cool, it was. But they didn't care. They missed the whole point. There was no repentance. I'm not ready for another day of this thronging, needy, give me what I need, but don't see who I am kind of day. I'm just, John, hey, no, not today, John. I'm laying on you. So you've never read that chapter in your Bible? That chapter would never be in your Bible because it would never happen. Why wouldn't it never happen and couldn't it happen? Because He's Jesus, because He's love. Don't miss it and make Him a special man. Jesus, what made Him special is He's love. God is love. That's what makes Him so incredible. Of course He's omniscient and omnipresent. But He's love. And we ain't never seen anything like it. But He made us for His image. He said, let us make them in our image. He didn't just make us. You're not happenstance. You have purpose. You have destiny. You have potential. Let us make man in our image. So the Bible's telling us the whole reason people are on the planet are to be found in His image. We turn it into blessing, provision, protection, and book of life. We haven't made it transformation, change, and image. The reason men are on the planet is to be found in His image. What got lost when man ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The image. It was the day he died. But he didn't fall over dead. Why? Because what God made him to be died. And he became a God unto himself, separated from God. And you and I were born into that lie. Not one of us in this room had a clue who we were, and some of us still aren't sure. At a very young age, you were nothing more than how you responded to how it all unfolded. And it wasn't even you. And people say, well, this type and this personality and introvert and extrovert. Are you kidding me? You get laughed at in third grade and you don't know how to respond because you don't know who you are and you're not secure enough to be okay. So in third grade, you get laughed at and you become broken and introverted and low esteemed, or you become hard and a fighter. But either choice isn't even you. And then your whole life, you're marked by that personality. And it's not even the real you. It's what you became apart from him. It's what survival fashioned you into. And you must be born again. And then you find the real you. You can't get saved and say, well, I just had a tough life. You try to sell that to Jesus. Because you don't have his resume. Yeah, I just went around doing good every day. My heart was so pure, it was ridiculous. God himself breathing through my heart. Did good, healed all these sick people, destroyed the bondage of hell and the devil off of people. Couldn't even say that. But they just didn't appreciate it, and they ended up killing me and crucifying me. But I'm doing okay. Am I doing okay? Are we all right?
We're all right.
Come on, guys. I'm just being real with everyday life stuff. Just everyday life stuff. He keeps saying up here sitting, I don't know if you can hear me, it's so fun. He says, that's real. Now that's real. Because it's stuff we've all felt, stuff we thought. You know, I've had people when they hear me preach and I talk about not letting feelings happen. You can't be, even your past, you can't say, well, brother, you need to lighten up. Some of us have been through a hard time and you don't know what we've been through. I'm saying, stop. Your focus needs to readjust to what he's been through. See, if you stay on that self-focus of what you've been through, you can never take Jesus through your hoop. Because nobody can make up for what you've been through. And next thing you know, you feel mad or you judge him or where's he been? Or if he loved me, then why did he let? And then it's all about you. The whole time you're singing, it's all about him. And that's a trap. And that's why you don't believe you're free. But you're letting yesterday matter more than the day that's come in him. You can't say you don't know what I've been through. You can't say, well, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. You don't know what it was like when I was growing up. And in this room, we could go around and get everybody to share their horror story. Because we all have one at some level. And there'd be some rough ones in the room. But at the end of going around the room and finding everybody's story, you know what we'd accomplish? We'd figure out who's been through, by our judgment, who's been through the most hell. And then we'd probably strike up the worship team and sing It's All About Heaven. And appear confused. Because we're letting where we've been decide who we are. But where he's been is the real you. You can't say you don't know what it was like when I was growing up, because Matthew 23:9 says, call no man on earth your father. You have one father and he's in heaven. The word father there means come forth from. You came forth from him. Your truth, your roots, your destiny, your purpose is in him. You can't let the lack of a biological dad. You can't let the lack of I love you. You can't let a busted up home fabric ride into your 20th, 30th, 40th year and then say it was hard growing up. Well, don't make it harder to believe him than it was growing up. Like, believe him. It separates you from growing up. It doesn't matter. My dad was alcoholic, true. Never said I loved you growing up. He'd tell me I would never be nothing. He would take his pain and vent it on me. His emptiness and vent it on me. I'd go drive him home from the bar because he couldn't walk. And he'd curse me on the way home and mock me and make fun of me because he was a withered up, dried up man in his heart. He had nothing to give. He was angry. And if I don't have an identity in that age, I wasn't saved, I wasn't going after Jesus, but somehow grace was on me where I'd never let that hurt me. I didn't get hard and angry. I got a little older and a little bigger, and I stood up to him more and challenged him and kind of hushed him up because I threatened back, you know, but that wasn't the right answer. But what I didn't do is feel like he owed me anything. I understood he was in trouble and he was a hurting mess. You know what else I did? I assessed the fact that he drank, and I saw what it did to his life and our family, and I decided at that age, I'm not going to drink. I don't know why that isn't our response. I don't know why we say, well, I smoke pot because my parents smoke pot. Probably a good reason why you shouldn't. Well, I just drink because it was in my family. Everybody's drinking. I was drinking when I was 15. Well, why didn't you look around at the hell it was creating? Why are you just following the same pattern and calling it, well, I just drink because my family drinks? That's a good reason why you should probably not. Why don't you go on and learn for yourself what you already know? So I decided I wasn't going to drink. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. If you're insecure and you don't know who you are and you need certain special people in your life to be certain things, you're going to try to drink from dry cups. Because not everybody has something to give you. And your expectation is on them and they're failing you continually. You personalize it and now it's low esteem. Now it's hurt, offense, insult, identity crisis. Because they weren't there for me. Wonder if they're so confused and lost they couldn't be there for you. And now you're interpreting it as you're not lovable. You don't find love through any of these things. You find love through Christ crucified. Hello? Love is Christ crucified. Yeah? I love you. I've known you from the beginning. It's my joy to give my life. Nobody took it. I laid it down freely so I could give you mine. I took who you were on the cross so you could take who I am through life. Yeah, you're worth this. Yeah. Good tidings, great joy. You see what's wrong with me? Do you see what's wrong with me? You see, the longer I talk and the more I talk, the crazier I get. I get more amped and I get more, and I feel it in my face and I can't calm down. And you say, settle down, brother. No, you're wrong about settle down. Well, yeah, but you need to learn to communicate with more. Stop. You don't even know what you're saying. You probably went to Bible college. No. I'm sorry. Oh, that was bad. I'm not against Bible college. I was just having fun. Honestly, I've learned this. You won't have heart and passion in the things you say if it's not your life. If it's just your knowledge, you'll stimulate knowledge. You'll stimulate somebody. You'll get them to think. The seed you're sowing in is the fruit you'll get. So if you're just conveying knowledge and what you learned, then the best you can do is stir people to think about it. But if you convey from what you've lived and what you know with that conviction, it carries some weight in the anointing in the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it other than seed time, harvest time. If you speak out of revelation, it carries the weight to reproduce the same thing. So people say, I was listening on YouTube and oh my goodness, my heart woke up. I saw it. My life's changed. I have spouses right now. I have wives that email me and say, my husband is not the same man. He's been listening to you for several months. I was a little bothered, thought he was listening to you too much, but I don't even know this man anymore. I didn't know you. I didn't know who he was listening to, but he is changed and it's all for the good and da 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 da. I got wives bearing witness of their husbands.
That's a pretty cool testimony. That's a lot better than somebody just walking up, hey, I'm changed.
You're out preaching a service like this and somebody means well and they'll come up at the end and say, oh my goodness, my life's changed forever. Okay, we'll see in about 10 years. I'm not being negative. I'm just saying you got to live this thing. You got to guard your heart because out of your heart flows the issues of life. You can't take to heart things that don't matter for the long run. You can't afford to just be hurt and have a justifiable reason. You can't have three reasons on your list why you're not pursuing his image. You can't say, well, I'd be in a better place if it wasn't for this, this, and this. This, this, and this isn't Lord. Why is it governing your life? You all good? See, my dad really did live that way. And the truth is, he was a dry cup. The truth is, I was thirsty young man because I didn't know who I was, even if I thought I did. But if I'm trying to drink out of a dry cup, of course I'm thirsty. It's the reason Jesus came and said he's living water. And he said, if you'd ask of me, I would give you a drink. And you would drink one drink, watch, and never thirst. Again, what's he saying? You will find who you are in me. I will satisfy that longing on the inside of you. And once you see it, who the sun sets is
free. See what's wrong with me for 24 years? Ding, 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 ding.
The lights came on. And there's no amount of time, there's no circumstance, there's no injustice that can change that truth. There's no nothing. Why? Because I settled who he is through Jesus, who the Father is through Jesus. And through him, I found the real me. And now this thing is on.
Yay. You get it?
You know, it gets really good. You don't even have to try to forgive. Try, because if you're trying to forgive, you're in unforgiveness. Why don't you just throw away the grid for it? Where did you assume the right, now that you're in Christ, to have unforgiveness? If God had that grid, we are on thin ice. If he could change his mind, we're not set and sure. If he loves you today and isn't so sure tomorrow, we're probably in trouble. What's your name?
Sawyer.
What is it?
Sawyer.
Sawyer. He isn't going to say a million. I know this is going to sound corny, but watch. Million years from now, he ain't going to stop the show and say, Sawyer, to the front. And Sawyer come, yes, Lord. You know, I've been thinking all this time. And I'm just not sure how you made it. And I'm just not sure how I feel about you anymore, Sawyer. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
Because of who he is.
Ain't that a good word? So it's not going to happen. He's like, whoa. He's wiping the sweat off the top of his head.
I saw it shining more, man, when I was talking. It started glistening. I thought it was the glory at first. But isn't that, I know it sounds corny, but it's extreme. But it's a principle that can, he's never going to change his mind. Love never fails. Love never fails. Why? Because it doesn't seek its own. Jesus never said prayer to go to heaven. He said, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Don't let sin against you produce sin in you. Don't repay evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. Deny yourself. Pick up your... And now you're following Jesus. You're not just singing to him and praying to him when you have a list. You're following him. When are you following him? When you love not your own life unto death and you're not letting life dictate who you are and how you are. That's carrying your cross. Yeah? I'm not the brightest man. I'm certainly not a politician. I'm not. But I'm convinced of this. The biggest problem, I have to say this, I've been saying this for months and months and months. And if you listen to anything on YouTube, you probably heard me say this, but I'm saying it tonight. The biggest problem, I'm convinced of this, there's no one's going to change my mind. The biggest problem on the planet, it's not who the president is. It's not hidden, subtle racial conflicts or blatant racial conflicts. It's not ISIS and terrorism. The biggest problem on the planet is every day, even Christians wake up and live for themselves when they're made for his image. Yes. And all of a sudden you're a Christian for you. You pray for your own well-being, and all you're a Christian for is things to go better. That's why you're not doing well. Because the barometer of your life is your circumstances. That's why you're up and down. And that is not the Christian life. You got your eyes fixed on something that he didn't pay for. And now you're troubled. And you're taught that he did pay for it, and it's yours, and the more you pray, it'll come your way. But the whole time it's costing you disposition, image, and expression. That's what's going to expose it as an idolatry and a wrong motive in life. When you look at what something's producing, you can tell if you're on point or not. If the way you're thinking and believing isn't producing life, then it can't be the Lord. Are you guys with me? Come on, this is sober, straight up living room, family chat and stuff. Look, your coworkers will never be impressed with your countenance falling when theirs falls. And I know we live in this thing that we think we got, well, brother, we got to be relatable and be real. And we can't get in denial. It's like we live in this place now. We have to be very careful in the church that if somebody's actually okay, we're coming up with reasons why they can't be and calling their okay denial. If somebody loses a loved one and they don't go into the grieving that's expected, all of a sudden they're in this denial place where they're too spiritual to face the reality of the loss of their loved one. Instead of just a good eternal view, and they don't grieve as if they have no hope, and they're going to continue on, even though they cry when they're alone or they miss the person at times, it doesn't ever subdue them, and you can't tell that they're grieving because in their heart they're okay, even though they miss their loved one. Well, we got to be so careful that we haven't become so bright through our own lives and experiences that now we challenge every faucet of grace that wants to change us. And all of a sudden, we just can't be okay. And all of a sudden, we don't even know what it looks like fully immersed in the grace that he paid for. Because all of a sudden, we compare ourselves among ourselves and our experiences lording over the working power of his grace. And we say, well, yeah, but everybody's going to have their moment, brother. Where do you get that? Everybody has their moments. Where do you get that? Who taught you that? Did Jesus tell you that? You have to show me that scripture. No, life's experiences taught us that. And all of a sudden we say, yeah, but brother, everybody has their moments. And all of a sudden that's why you have yours. And then when you have yours, there's no conviction for change because it's the way we are, you know. And anybody that speaks anything different is in denial, drawing attention to themselves, puffed up in pride. Yep, that's what we do and say. I've been around it. It's not humble to speak out against the things he paid for you to be and say you can't be. That's not humble. That's actually a form of pride it fails to receive. Are you with me? We all know that in our own righteousness we're not worthy to be filled with his spirit. Who knows that's true? Do we all know that? That you can't earn this thing. In our own righteousness is filthy rags, because the nature of fallen man in his best form is a far cry from the image of God. Who knows that's all true? But to just walk around and say, well, we're just not worthy, there's a weird twist to it. Because he made you worthy by bringing out the real you. He's bringing out the best him in you. So to him are you worthy? Absolutely. So is it wrong to understand that? And is it high-minded to believe that? Then why do we seem to always talk ourselves down as if that's exalting him? Be real careful with this stuff. It's religious traps. Well, you know, we're just not worthy. If you understand what you're saying and you're saying we didn't earn this thing, I get it. But why do you have to keep talking like that? Why don't you just put that thing aside and thank God for the cross, and then step over here. He's out of the tomb. He's risen. He's in you, and you got your life in him. Your identity rests in that. Why don't you just stay there? Amen. Wake up every day righteous, forgiven, accepted, pure, holy, blameless, and above reproach. His favorite. Y'all okay? I got to wrap this thing up. We got to do a couple things. Wow. It's 7 after 9 already. All right, it's time. Time, it's going to matter to someone. We got kids. We got all weekend too. Are you, some of you coming back for like just the weekend? Okay, no, that's good. So, because I can expound on some things really, like tomorrow's like, we got a lot of time, don't we, set up. What's our schedule look like tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, 9:30 with me. And then
2. And at 7. So we got all day. We got 9:30, 2, and 7. So we got tons of time to keep growing in these truths. So I encourage you, if you can, come on, and let's get this thing down. I know the things that will be in my heart tomorrow because of what I'm sharing tonight is how we get there and how relationship with Him gets us there. How do you become these things that you're hearing? Because when you hear them, you can hear they're true and just. You can hear they're scriptural. You can actually hear in your heart, wow, I'm called to this. Right? Most people don't even wrestle with that. What they wrestle with is, how do I become that? So how do I get there? How do I all of a sudden walk? Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. I said, we were made for His image. The biggest problem on the planet is if men wake up every day and live for themselves. That's where your attitudes, your emotions, and all your stuff flows from, your motive in life. Watch. I've had people say to me, well, Dan, God gave us emotions. Well, He did, but not the ones you grew up with. See, here's the problem. We just think they're normal. So we've studied a fallen man, and we say this is us. And then anything outside of that isn't relatable or is in denial. But we're studying a fallen man. Watch. Nobody had to teach you how to be angry. You mastered that thing. You are a 4.0 whatever. Without study. Who had to read a book on anger and practice? Come on. Before you could speak any language, you were angry. Anybody ever see a little one do it just like that? You ever take a binky out when they're not done working it? What's one of the first things little ones do? Mine. Now. You ever see a baby swing at their parent? Swing. They don't even know what they're doing, but it's just there. It's like, oosh. Sensitive mama, my baby just tried to hit me. What am I doing wrong? That's what a mama does. What am I doing wrong? Nothing, your baby's going to need born again. So keep modeling Jesus. Keep living the standard so they're convicted at a very young age. But if you fall apart and get condemned and let where they're not decide where you are, that vision's probably going to be blurry. Y'all good? Here's why. The emotions you and I grew up with cannot be from the Lord. They're all hinged on a self-centered motive. Your life and my life, everybody in this room, from the time we can remember, it was all about us. You needed somebody to love you, honor you, care for you, encourage you, value you. You were full of needs like I was. And unfortunately, most of those needs weren't being met. So you lived with vacuums and insecurities and low esteem and wrong views and opinions, and your heart got hurt and angry and hard. We all been through it. All your emotional expression flowed out of a self-centered wellspring. And Jesus has a simple answer. Stop feeding the problem. Deny yourself. You were never made for you. You were made for my image. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Stop making people and things your excuse. Die to it all and live to me. And I promise I will be faithful and come and live inside of you, never leave you or forsake you, and be grace that's more than enough.
Sounds like a pretty good bargain. So all of a sudden, your complaining is done, your excuses are done, people aren't your problem, you were your own worst enemy. It's not, Satan's not even the problem. He just works with what you give him. Jesus said, the ruler of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Why? There was no self to work with.
there was no self to work with. He cometh, but he has nothing in me. The only thing he works with is you thinking for you. And that's what makes you a sitting duck or a target. Wonder if you get that out of the equation. Wonder if you really are seeking first the kingdom of God. Wonder if your motive was really the highest best of another. Wonder if you really were living laid down. What could he touch if you love not your own life unto death? I guess then you overcome.
I read this book. Yeah?
So guess what I did so far tonight? I just preached what Christianity is. That's all I did. What it can look like, what it's been from the beginning. Feeling sorry for yourself no matter what is a big trap. Look, I grew up with an alcoholic dad. I had my mama sick for 40 years. My mama passed on when I was a Christian, saved, and saw a bunch of healings in my life. Still lost mama to that sickness. My view of God has already been established. Mama passing doesn't change a thing. Just inspires me to get to know him more and to grow more. Because he's amazing. You see, well, if God was good, why'd he? If God wasn't good, why'd he send his son when I was yet a sinner? Maybe our questions are coming from personal hurt. Maybe we ought to switch our questions. Whenever they asked Jesus a question from the wrong place, he never answered. He always said, let me ask you a question. Why? Was no sense answering a question that came from a wrong place. So he said, let me ask you a question, and then he addressed their heart. Do you know how many angry people have confronted me over the years and said, well, if God is so good, then how come? And they share their horror story. And I say, listen, I'm sorry all those things happened. Why are you reflecting that on the goodness of God? There's death and life in our tongues. We're reaping what we're sowing. What if some of us have been speaking for years? Studies show yourself approved, you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. How many times do we think and speak and we haven't even grown and learned? Are you following me?
Yes.
It's amazing how fallen man is real quick to put the problem on something else. And even God, his maker. How the clay can accuse the potter. That's a sure sign of the fall. So it's time to humble our hearts and all make sure we're just born again. Not heading to heaven, heaven in us. So people see him in us because we walk in the light as he's in the light. He said, you're the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men. So any attitude or anything that infringes on the light is an enemy to what you're called to. Not the person, anything. So your good fight is what? The good fight of faith so the light keeps shining. Anything that takes away the light is a deception. Because the whole reason you're alive is to shine.
Yay. You get it?
That's just a good word. It was. Yeah, I didn't say that so you clap, but thanks. I got a clap. That was good. Thanks. I got one clap. No. Let's do something before it gets too late. That's,
yeah. That's really good.
I am so in need of grandchildren. He really blessed me today. I smiled and he just leaned, came right to me.
I was like, yes, highlight of my day.
And he's just smiling. I said, yeah, I know. I feel that way all the time. I have one granddaughter. She's 13. My daughter didn't want any more children after she had her. She just didn't. And her husband wants some kids, but she doesn't. So I'm telling her to listen to her husband. and my son's only married a little over, well, July will be 2 years. So they're so in love. They're cute to watch. My wife doesn't even think they're going to have kids because they're so in love. I said, stop that. They're going to have lots of kids. I finally have a cell phone. I never had one for a long, long time. But you just can't travel without, you can't even communicate anymore. Your young generation around here, they don't even know what a payphone is because there is none. I think of Clark Kent. He can't manifest anymore. That's probably why evil's getting greater on the earth. He's running around and he finds nowhere to manifest. He needs a phone booth. There is none. Superman's days are done. I just think of him. I'm like, God, would you bless Clark? I was the only guy for probably 5 years that I ever saw on a payphone in an airport. I think the young generation was like, what are those things? Like, but I text my son out of the blue. I'll just text him and say, hey, you guys pregnant? He'll be like, stop! Exclamation points. I'm like, no, serious. I just got this thought maybe she was. And then he's so mean to me. He'll send me a circle with a line through it or a baby with a binky and a line through it. And I'm like, no! Yeah, I'm definitely, like, don't even hand me your babies. It's not safe anymore. The only reason I won't run is because I'm a Christian. But the urge comes on me. This voice says, run. Take him and run. No, I can't. It's something. Anybody that's a grandparent knows what I'm talking about. It's something amazing. And when I wasn't saved, I didn't see that in kids. Kids could have got on my nerves when I wasn't saved. And now there's nothing a child could do to even remotely bother me. I'm on airplanes. I want when they're near me. I have one sitting banging my seat and dropping their tray and putting it up and dropping it, putting it up. And then my shutter started going, my shutter, not their shutter, my shutter. And you know how mad people get because they paid money to sit in that seat to get tortured, they think? And the daddy is on the computer and he doesn't even know what the baby girl's doing because she's like three and she's totally out of control. And he's so busy on his computer, he has no clue. So when he does finally realize she's a little terrorist, what's he do? Freak out. Stop, no. And he's tense and he's grabbing her and restraining her. And I'm like, so I spin around in the airplane right on my seat, spin and pop up over. Hey, guys. He's like, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I was like, are you kidding? There's nothing to forgive. I said, if there's one person on this plane your little girl has no power over, he's sitting right in front of her. I got nothing but love for this little girl. And it's like she heard everything I was saying. She's like. And I said, listen, man, I understand you want a teacher, trainer, but you're on that computer. You're not even realizing she's doing all this. Then you catch her. And you, ah! I said, that's never going to instruct her, man. I said, you know, teach her. And I gave him a little insight on that. But I said, you just be at peace on this flight because her and I are going to be buddies. I said, you gonna be my buddy? So I sat down in my seat and I put my hand right back between her immediately and I found the tip of her shoe. I had her. I heard her. She said, Daddy, he got me. So then I'm there and I can't see her foot, so she's giggling because I know she's running it from me, but I'm going all over trying to find her foot. We had so much fun. The whole flight. And yeah, he thanked me for it. I sat on a flight with a lady. She was so nervous. She was sitting on the aisle. Who flies Southwest? Ever flew Southwest? You go in there and you pick your seat, right? So the late zone, when the C zone comes, guess what seats they all have? The middle. There's no Christians on the whole plane. I was A zone. I was like A20 something. You got the whole plane. You walk in there, the whole plane is empty. You're like. So I walk, here's this lady sitting on the aisle with this little baby, just like that, only just a little older, 1 year old. And she's sitting on the aisle. I walked in and sat right beside her in the middle. I got the whole plane. She panicked. She said, sir.
You don't want to sit here. I got my one-year-old. I'm so nervous flying. I've never flown with him. I don't know how he's going to be. You got the whole plane to choose from. You don't. Why would you sit here? I said, it's exactly why I'm sitting here. I said, because if I don't sit here, somebody's going to get forced to that doesn't want to. And then you'll be under more pressure. I said, I'm sitting here because I love children and Jesus changed my life. And I don't want you in that position because you're already in a place where you feel like if he makes a noise, everybody's going to look at you. She said, I'm under so much pressure. I said, well, you relax. I said, hey, little buddy. So I got him all going, and in moments, he's leaning, wants me to hold him. And she said, no, no, you don't want to bother the man. And I said, bother the man? I said, listen, I know I'm a stranger, but I would hold your boy the whole flight if you'd let me. You could take a nap. He'll be fine. And she's like, you would hold my son on the plane? I said, are you kidding me? I mean, I almost offered to pay her. She let her boy crawl on me. He sat on me, leaned against me, and laid back on me the whole flight. I found a little truck in his little toy bag. We ran that thing. We put a lot of miles on that truck. We were jumping it. Boom. I took it down mommy's arm. Boom. Bounced it off her knee. And on the seat, he says, belly laughing. And you know how a little baby, when you do it like the fifth time, they're laughing harder. About the 100th time, they're laughing. So we just had a blast. He fell asleep on me. Oh, my goodness. So that was my seat on the Southwest flight beside the lady. Ain't that sweet? It's Jesus. It's not think for yourself, convenience, and always sit where you prefer. Sometimes it's better to think of others more than yourself. I remember I got on a plane. I had the best seat on the plane, in my opinion. I'm not in first class, but I'm at the bulkhead right behind first class. It's like a small living room. Like you can stretch your feet and not even touch nothing. It's like, whoa. And if you slouch and kick off your shoe, you can actually get a little prop going against the bulkhead. It's 10A on that plane. It's just, when you see 10A, you're like, oh, wow. I turned a corner, and there's a man sitting in my seat. Now, you know, he's an Indian man, Middle Eastern, and two ladies beside him, they had the little red circles painted. So you know when somebody's in your seat what you do. You already know it's your seat, but you still look at your boarding pass. And you do this to make it obvious that I think there's somebody in my seat. And he said in broken English, is this your seat? Is this your seat, sir? And I said, yeah. He said, I was hoping I sit here and be with family. And you know, most people say, listen, pal, you'll see your family when we land. Ain't gonna hurt you to go back and sit in your seat. That's my seat, dude. I'm leaning against it. We're flying the whole way to California. True story, Baltimore to California. I was really looking forward to that seat. That's what most people... I said, listen, man, that's a no-brainer. You want to stay with family? Where's your seat? He said, 30E. Oh. That's four rows from the back. E is the middle. So I said, okay, bless you, man. Heading back. I get back there. I go, oh, dear Jesus. I'm not being rude. Two very large women. The computer doesn't know your size. The computer messed up. They got a lady in... D, they got a lady in F. There ain't no way we're putting down the arm thing. There ain't no way. I got half a leg on my E seat and a half a leg on my E seat, so I got that much seat. I walked back there and I said, hey, girls. And they're looking at me so scared because when they sat down, they already knew computer had made a problem. It's a problem. We shouldn't all be in the same row. I said, hey, girls. I said, looks like we're going to be close all the way to California. I said, I'm going to come in here. I just sat right in there. I put my arms right on the sides of their legs. I said, I hope we're okay being this close because we got a long ride, girls. They were so nervous, and then I had them laughing, and it was probably 5 minutes. Within 5 minutes, I brought up Jesus, told him, hey, everything's cool. A lot of love in this row. I know this, I was warm all the way to California. I was warm. I felt rocked or something. I was just warm. So I'm leaving California, same flight, leaving California. I got my boarding pass. Guess what seat I have on the way home? I said, oh my goodness, Lord, I really did want that seat. That's cool. That's just cool. Because honestly, you say, well, don't you fly all the time? Why don't you have your seats? I just let the computer pick my seat. Because somebody got to sit there. Why can't it ever be you? You say, yeah, but you got status. No, I have laid down my life. You say, well, I ain't sitting in no middle. Could you picture Jesus? I ain't sitting in no middle. I ain't sitting by the pooper. Somebody has to. Why isn't it ever you? So I just let the computer sit me so I can stay humble and sit wherever and be beside somebody. But I had 10A on the way home. I was like, woo-hoo. All of a sudden they say, Dan Moeller, could you come to the desk? And I'm like, I wonder why they never call me to the desk. I go up there. She said, are you traveling alone? I said, I am, ma'am. She said, well, we have a situation. Well, she knows it's 10A. She knows I got the living room. I got the couch. And I said, you need to keep a family together, mother, child, or something. She said, that's exactly what it is, a mother and a young. I said, honey, that's a no-brainer, of course. She said, but I didn't even tell you the seat I can give you. I said, does it matter? She said, I would think so. Because she works with people every day, and a lot of them go to church. She said, I would think so. I said, well, I don't think so. I don't think it matters at all. I said, if it depended on what seat, I'm not even given anything. She said, wow, you have a different attitude. Said, well, it shouldn't be an attitude, different attitude. I said, listen, honey, I sucked this girl in, man. I mean, I'm a fisherman, right? I got this girl without manipulation. I just casted the right bait. I had her. She went. And while I was talking, she went. I mean, I gut hooked this lady. She wasn't getting away. She is hanging on every word because she's a gate agent. She's an airline girl. I said, honey, I learned this a long time ago. I had the most amazing experience years ago. I said, I had this seat. I said, oh my goodness, it was the worst seat you could ever be in. She thinks I'm talking about a plane. I said, I had this worst seat and this guy came. And he took my seat. And he had the most incredible seat. He took mine and put me in his. And she's hanging on every word. She's going, really? He did that? He did. I mean, this girl's, I'm just reeling up. I'm just getting out the slack. I'm just ready to, oh! She goes, really? He did that? I said, yeah. I said, he's amazing. His name is Jesus. She went, it grabbed. She went, oh! Oh, that, sir, that is the most beautiful analogy. And tears just came right in her eyes. And I said, yeah, honey, he changed my life a long time ago. I said, switching my seat is easy. I said, honestly, you said that you think it would matter because you get all the flack and the heat. And unfortunately, a lot of those people go to church. And I said, it ain't about going to church, it's about being the church. And I said, honey, it's easy. Because she said, oh, I said, can I bless you? I just prayed you. Oh, thank you. And then she smiled and said, well, I have a window for you, by the way. I said, well, that's awesome. Who knows you like a window? You're going the whole way to the coast. But I gave my 10A to get my window. And I reeled her in. Just simple, practical, everyday stuff that shouldn't be a sacrifice. Because it's not about you, your convenience, and how you feel. It's about who he is and people's value. And you probably can make that statement every day of your life somehow. And if we in this room would start doing that on a regular basis, how much ground would we cover in a few months? Yeah? Okay, I'm way late, way late, way done. So, yeah, that was good. You can tell when it's good because it brings life. Yeah? Now, you tell me one thing I preached. You tell me one thing I preached that you can't live if you wrap faith around that thing and go after it. Apart from any circumstance or situation in your life, no matter where life is right now for you, you tell me one thing I preached that you can't pursue and live. Apart from any other factor in your life, there isn't anything. And the just shall live by faith. So the key to becoming love is you have to want to. You can't hold on to the rights that you received outside of Jesus. We get all these rights. Well, yeah, but I, but nobody, well, how come they? Well, they shouldn't. Where did you get that? Where did you get all these rights? How do you deny yourself and have so many rights? How do you lay down your life and die, and your life is hidden in Him, and you have so many rights concerning this life? You say, well, they didn't treat me right. Well, they didn't treat Jesus right every day. He didn't let how they treated Him decide Him. He didn't let what they didn't see decide what He did see. He's the light of the world. And now you're the light of the world. So go ahead and shine. Y'all good? I'm done with all that now. We're gonna close out. We're gonna pray for some things. Is that okay? So listen, I'm not a real rosy. I'm not a big time altar guy unless Jesus really tells me and gives me some vision for an altar call, which I do at times, but I'm not a close your eyes and raise your hand kind of guy. Listen, you say, why? You're supposed to be evangelistic. I was for the last hour and a half. Yeah? So let's not make it such cookie cutter. That's just, it's all about the heart. It's all about you saying, look, if you haven't been living Jesus after tonight and you're hearing this, you just go, duh. Yeah. Duh. In your heart. God, what was I thinking? Man. God, yeah. And all of a sudden you say, man, keep these words in front of me. Holy Spirit, that's amazing. Keep me convicted, right? If you're not born again, you know, you can get aggressive. You can say, hey, what must I do to be saved? Do you know that's how they got saved in the Bible? They heard the word, they saw the word being lived, and they said, hey, how do I get saved? You know what we turned it into? Trying to get a head nod from people. Rarely do we talk about water baptism. We just try to get them to repeat a prayer. Why? Because we're not even thinking transformation of life. We're just thinking get them to heaven someday if they die. And it sounds good. It seems noble. Jesus wants to transform them. Water baptism, die to live. When they're good and dead, bring them up by faith. If it doesn't work, you know where they're going. It's just good, man. It would sure hit the point home, right? Die! See, you're dying to live. It's water baptism. There's nowhere in the gospel they believed and didn't get baptized immediately. We don't evangelize like that. We pray street corner prayers. And then we leave them go and tell them they're going to heaven. And I'm not saying Holy Spirit hasn't never worked with that. He has. But why do we force Him to work with our gospel? Why don't we just preach His? Why don't you just get a group of young people on a street corner and say, listen, guys, do you even understand the gospel? Well, we ain't got time for the gospel. Well, maybe you never heard the gospel. Well, I heard the gospel tons of times. Jesus died on the cross for remission of my sins. So that's the gospel to you? No, He died so you can get rid of yourself, man, and die to yourself. It's the biggest problem in your life. Let me talk about it. You know how you've been angry? You know how you this? You know how you complain? You know how you backbite? Come on, man. It's just devouring one another. There's no life in that. You know why we all live that way? You explain from the beginning, and all of a sudden they're listening. It's amazing how it convicts young people when you talk about the peril of living for yourself, and it's a dry and lonely place. It forces everybody to live around your world instead of live in His. I talk about how it's prideful and how lonely it'll make you, and that's why you feel like you do on the inside. And you'd be amazed how young people will cry and break down because they can't deny that they're self-centered. And he told him, now listen, what I want to do, man, is teach you this. This is amazing. Jesus said, if you come unto me, there's one thing you got to do. You got to deny yourself. Dude, it's the biggest problem of your life. It's not your dad. Stop blaming your dad. Man, if you saw your dad through the eyes of Jesus, you wouldn't be complaining. You'd be hanging on a cross. You'd be laying down your life. You'd be praying, how can I love and send this man a message to bring out his value because I see mine. You preach like that to young people. They say, what do I need to do, man? This is real. I see that in your eyes. Well, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to take you to water. I'm going to hold you under till you die. And then I'm going to fill my heart with faith and lift you up and believe he breathes life into you. And if it doesn't happen, at least we know you're going to heaven. But I'm going to hold you under, man, till every bubble stops because you are dying. You're not praying a prayer to go to heaven. You are dying so you can finally live. And I have fun with it, and I tease them and tell them that. But then I tell them I'm just going to do it by faith. But I want to water baptize people. I want to do what the Bible. And then there's something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you tell them about him, and you bring them up out of the water, and you trust he'll be right there. Empower them to be a witness. Ain't that something? So here's what we're going to do quick. We're going to pray for the sick. Can we do that? We'll be out of here in 20 minutes. Is that going to be too long, too late? It's Friday night. You good? It's a little late. I lost a couple people. It ain't my preaching. My preaching's so good. Why would you walk out on my preaching? I'm so secure. When they leave, I'm thinking, well, they just got to go. The baby's got it. It ain't my preaching. I just know that. Let me think what I want to think. We're going to pray for the sick. You know why? Because he really is good, and he paid a price for the redemption of men. And I believe with all my heart, I lost my mama to sickness. It didn't harden my heart. It made me want to go after him more. Yeah? Come on. Unless you love less your mother and your father. Yeah? If you let the passing of your mother make your heart hard? Where was your motive? Where's your first love? Where's the why in your relationship? Do you even have covenant with him, or do you just have need of him? I wonder if Satan thinks he has this figured out and we don't really love God, we just need God. And if he didn't pull through, we're frustrated and we're out. Well, that ain't gonna be me. Yeah, I lost my mama. I didn't lose her, did I? If it wasn't for the blood, it'd be a loss. It'd be dust to dust and ashes to ashes and all that. But because of the blood speaking better things, mama's doing amazing. You say, well, that's just what you want to believe and make you feel better. No, that's what I do believe. Mama's doing amazing. And I'm going to keep doing amazing. And one day amazing's going to rejoice with amazing. And it's going to be amazing. And we're just going to live with him forever. And we're going to be glad we believed. And to get robbed in a moment of time through logical thinking or human reasoning or feelings or emotions that have nothing to do with the kingdom. Yeah? So we're going to pray for the sick. If you've been prayed for 50 times, now would be a good time to get prayed for. Don't say, well, you know, I'm not standing up anymore because every time I get prayed for, nothing ever happens. Well, don't make this already one of those times. Let's just believe God. Believing is believing. And we're going to keep this thing so simple. I know some people will call this prophecy. Let me just proclaim. We're going to make this so simple, he's going to come and do things because it's who he is. There's nothing nobody can do to stop it. Yay, I can't even mess this up. I can't. He's going to come. He's going to fix things and heal things and restore things. Because it's who he is. It's what he paid for. He's going to do it. It's going to be simple. And we're not even going to play any music. We're not even going to play any music. We're not even going to go for atmosphere. We're not going to dim the lights. We're not going to wave no colored flag to represent whatever. In fact, I'm really messing Tommy up right now. In fact, we're going to make this room so dry. And teach ourselves that he just does it because he is. It ain't because you did something right, except you just believe that he is. Come on, when you see somebody hurting in public and you're a little nervous and you're hesitant to go pray for them, it ain't no atmosphere. It's just you struggling with self-consciousness and fear. And sometimes you learn to just be a Christian Nike commercial and just do it. Just do it. Just step through that and make a statement. I ain't letting that hold me back. Boom. Now, I've learned this in my life, that the number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick in their personal lives, it's because they're afraid nothing will happen. And because they're afraid nothing will happen, they don't pray for the sick, so they already have what they fear. And we shouldn't be good with that. We shouldn't make it about us anymore. Amen. Believing is believing. I've prayed for people and haven't seen things change. I'm not copping out when I say this. A cynical man will say this is a plan B. No, I'm trying to explain what believing is. I lost my mother. Does that mean the whole gospel's challenged because my mom died? And then people say, well, see, your mom died, and you believe, and you've seen other people healed, and you saw that man with leukemia and Todd and da-da-da. Well, if your mom, and if God wanted to heal, he would have healed, but you prayed, and he didn't, so it wasn't. That's just rational, logical, analytic. No, there's so many components there. It's my own mom. Don't think there's not a struggle. It was probably the biggest challenge in my Christian life, watching my mama suffer like that. It was real. Before I was saved, I was changing my mama's diapers. I was carrying her to bed when I was pretty young. So don't tell me I don't understand hardship, and don't tell me it wasn't hardship. It was real, full of feelings. I get saved, and I'm going after things. I'm not seeing it where mom's concerned. But I got all this. I went for a long season. I didn't even pray for my mom because I felt religious. I felt like I was just saying some of the same things because of the problem. I went through some struggles, man. I had to grow through things, and it was a battle. Who knows what I'm talking about? So the Lord spoke to my heart to do this at the end of services. I do it a lot. So we're going to do it. It's going to be so simple. We're just going to pray specific. I'm only going to give you tonight about 6 seconds to pray. I'm going to actually stop all the prayers at about 6 seconds. You ought to thank me for that. You know why? Because it's not your prayer that heals the sick. It's what you believe about what he accomplished and his love for the person. Now, you be real honest with me. Who here's ever prayed for the sick? Okay, that's a bunch. Good. Now watch. Put your hands down. I'm going to need your class participation. Who, when you prayed for the sick, thinking about it now, you could chuckle and say, wow, as soon as you went to pray for the sick, you got more conscious about what you were praying, how you were praying, and trying to pray powerful and anointed and get God to move. That's probably why he didn't show up. Because then it would be all about you and your prayer, and now we'd need prayer college. And when there's a revelation, be healed in Jesus' name is probably plenty. He cast out spirits with a word. Now we have 3-day conferences with them. Yeah? So tonight we're only going to pray for about 6 seconds. Why? Because we don't want anybody self-conscious. Nobody's going to have to try hard. In fact, there's no way to make a mistake tonight except not get involved. Because I'm going to get you guys to help me. Okay? When you pray for the sick, you'll run into 2 different things. Lots of sicknesses, but 2 different situations. You'll pray for people that if they were healed, they wouldn't know if they were healed in the moment because of the condition. It's something that comes and goes. Who's ever seen somebody get migraines, but they just don't have one right now, but they thought they might have one today, and they're so thankful they didn't, and they're wondering when it's going to hit them because it's been coming regularly for the last 6 weeks. You ever hear somebody talking like that? So you go to pray for them. They don't have a migraine. There's nothing to gauge other than simple faith in our heart and believing that they're healed and that that thing won't come back again. So that's just simple faith. That's not an easier route because it's like, whew, no way to really know. That's my safer avenue. I'll just pick people that won't know. No, because every situation requires faith. So some people need a test. They need time to tell. They need to stand for a long time or drive for a while. There's things they need to do, stairs a little bit up and down, or do their work for 4 hours till they realize if they're healed or not, because something comes and goes, pops up, shows up. You all know what I'm saying, right? So tonight, let's do this real simple. We're not going to make light of your situation. We just don't have to take long. And I'm just telling you, please get involved, because these little moments, God is doing so many beautiful things. So don't miss this moment, okay? So get involved. If you're here tonight, you don't have to stand up or anything. I just want to see your hands so we can believe for you. We're going to do this one really, really quick, because it's just a principle of faith. If you have a condition in your body, something you're living with, something that's less than wholeness, but if you were healed tonight, there'd be no way to symptomatically check it, to realize it, other than simple faith in your heart, because it's something that comes and goes, or the condition itself doesn't show itself in a way that could be checked. Are you guys with me? Yeah. Who is that in the room? You have a situation that could, you would not know it in the moment if you're healed, except time will tell, and just simple faith in your heart. Okay, leave your hand up. If you're sitting real close to one of them, tap them, grab their hand. If you're behind them, just let them know you're going to touch their shoulder lightly. Just stand with somebody. Okay, now if you raised your hand, here's all I want you to do tonight. I want you to believe God loves you, or he'd have never sent his son. Don't challenge his love because of your condition. Know his love because he sent his son. And all I want you to do tonight is just thank him for loving you. And that if he didn't love you, he'd have never came. Okay, that's all I want you to do. I don't want you to be like trying to receive. Who's ever seen this stuff? I've been around us. You say, what are you doing, man? Just trying to receive, man. Or you get real touched. Just receive. And the people that are touching you and praying, all I want you to do right now, as you're saying, thank you, God, for loving me, just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank you, God, because you're King and Lord Jesus over all. I thank you, Father. Just be healed. Just speak it over. No more symptoms. No more sickness. Don't ever come back. Father, we just thank you for change all over this room. We thank you that people will rejoice, and in whatever time is necessary based on conditions, people are going to go, wow, that one little moment of time, and this thing has changed that quick because of who you are. God, I thank you all through the room. Change. Yep, change all through the room. And you make sure you tell people, you testify, you let your friends know when you realize that thing's gone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's good. Okay, so if that was our first group and they wouldn't know, what's our second group? They would know. So this is a no-brainer, right? So I want you to participate. We can do this, and hang in there if you can. We'll be done really soon, but it's going to be fun. So if you have sickness in your body, or you have anything less than wholeness going on, I want you to go ahead and stand up if you can. If you can't stand up, just go like this if you can't stand up, and we'll make sure we get to you. But if you can, stand to your feet and we'll know who you are. Just stand to your feet. Don't stay in your chair if you fit that description. Anything less than wholeness, please stand to your feet. Now don't make me go fishing. I'm a pretty good fisherman. I shouldn't have to call you out. Don't say, well, Lord, if you call me out, I'll stand up. Just stand up, please. We should be quick to receive these things that he paid for. And don't make no inner vows and say, I told myself I'd never be prayed for at the end of a service because I'm tired of going home disappointed. We're not going to, we'll cover that. We're not going home disappointed. You guys good? We got everybody? Yeah? Come on, I'm waiting for a couple more. Just a couple more. Jump to your feet. You got a situation in your body. You actually have pain in your body right now. You have, there's 5 people. You're sitting. You have arthritic symptoms in your body that you can locate right now if you check and they're there and you haven't stood up. There's 5 and you're still sitting. I got 2, 3, 4. Wow, I got 6, 7. Okay, well, we were in the right pond. We just had more fish. We had more fish. We were in the right pond. Thank you for jumping up, guys. Okay, so I need you to do this quickly. This, no, you're not worshiping, and this isn't works to get healed or anything. Just lift your hand up so we know who you are. Okay, leave it up. Leave your hand up. Just one hand. The people sitting, please, please, especially if you're uncomfortable. Really, that's the people I want on my team, the most uncomfortable people, because they won't be overconfident or self-confident. The people sitting, you're my prayer team. I know you didn't sign up for this. I'm enlisting you. You don't have to, but I sure want you to. Jump up and go say, hey, you're mine. I'm going to stand with you. Have fun with them. Say, hey, I never did this before. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Just claim somebody. As soon as you claim me, they claim you, put your hand down. As soon as they claim you, put your hand down. Go look for the hands that are still up. Get the hands that are still up, my people that are sitting. Jump out of your chairs and find somebody one-on-one till we get everybody covered. I got 2 in the back corner. I got 1, 2 in the middle here. I got 1 over there. Put your hand down when we claim you. Only have your hand up if we didn't claim you yet. I got a lady back there. She is patiently waiting for someone to come and love her in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, she's waiting. Do I have somebody that can go stand with her? Is there somebody available? Did they get you? Yeah, they're standing with you? Okay. Anybody else that's not, don't have somebody, go like this so I can see you. There's still a hand up back there. Did you get her? Good. Everybody accounted for? Okay. Do this real quick. This isn't your 6 seconds. This is your 3 seconds. 3 seconds, tell them why you stood up, your condition. Be simple, 3 seconds. Don't go into detail, no life story. Just tell them. I got a degenerated disc in my back. I got arthritis pains in my body. Just 3 seconds, you ought to be able to tell them. Yeah? You good? Everybody good? So everybody knows what they're praying for. Okay. Didn't I tell you I was going to make the room dry? You feel how dry it is? Oh, it's so good. So dry. Here's why we're believing he's going to heal. Because he loves us. And he paid the price through his son. And all he's asking you and me to do is believe that. Yeah? And he says, if we believe, we're going to do what? Lay hands on the sick, and the sick are going to what? Are going to recover. So whatever they told you, if they told you, I have a torn rotator cuff and my shoulder's just not functioning right. Watch, 6 seconds, watch. Rotator cuff, you be completely healed. You don't even have to say that, watch. Shoulder be completely whole, total rotation and total motion with no pain in Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds? They say, my knees are bone on bone. Knees, you be completely restored. New cartilage, new tissue. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds without trying hard and without getting into works? Be honest with me. Haven't we really tried hard because we really do care? We've tried really hard. We've tried to pray that perfect prayer. So it's already flawed before we pray it. Oops. Y'all good? So you got 6 seconds. What I'm going to do, I'm going to say, okay, guys, pray for your person. You got 6 seconds. And I'm going to watch my watch and give you about 6 seconds. And I'm going to say, okay, wrap it up. That won't hinder a thing. Holy Spirit's not going to be like, oh, Dan, you're grieving me. Sometimes, the longer we pray, we throw ourselves into unbelief. Sometimes the more you pray, you get frustrated, you get into works. Let's just see what God does in 6 seconds. I mean, he said, let there be light, and guess what happened? He didn't be like, light, 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 light. If I see it, it'll be light. And then 2 hours later, think, yes! We're just going to believe. Who's all been crying out for this more spontaneous stuff anyway, right? We're like, Jesus says it, bang. Who wants that more? Yeah. So we're going to pray. I'm going to stop you in 6 seconds. I want you to certainly pray in Jesus' name. That's the like thing today. We're all just Jesus' name, whatever the condition, Jesus' name, okay? I usually acknowledge God's love for them. I might say something like, knees, you be completely restored. No more pain in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your love. Thanks for loving them. I'll just say that because I want to, because I feel like in my life I've noticed we don't receive His love well. And we question it more than we receive it. So I like to acknowledge it a lot. You don't have to. But faith works through love. It's just cool. So I'm going to stop you. You're going to say amen. The people we're praying for, all I want you to do for 6 seconds is believe one simple truth. Wow, you heal me because you love me. And if you didn't love me, you'd have never sent your son. That's all I want you to think about. So when we stop, everything will go quiet. Everybody stops praying. I'll put a halt to everything. Nobody's going to get into works and try hard. Then I want you, without exaggeration, to begin to check your body. And really check it. Don't be rash. Don't be quick. Don't go, woo, and then say later, you know, it wasn't like I thought. No, I want you to really take time. We're not going to be under pressure. Check your body. And when you know you're healed, I want you to let me know. Don't say, well, you know, because the girl praying for you has big, sincere brown eyes and you don't want her to feel bad. That's called lying. It's unchristian. I just know how we can be sometimes. So take your time. Are we okay? Take your time, check your bodies, and then let me know when you're healed. Now watch. If your body didn't change when you checked it, don't disconnect. Don't turn on your thinker. Don't say, well, see, here we go again. Nothing happened. Whatever. And the person praying for you, like, don't be like, well, I wonder what I did wrong. See, I didn't think I was wrong. Don't disconnect. Listen to a few testimonies. Thank God He's a healer, that He loves you. And go ahead and recheck your body. Hear 2, 3, 4 testimonies. You say, wow, it's still hurting me. Check it. After you hear a testimony, thank you, Father. You're such a healer. You're so good to us. I'm telling you, things will just start changing like popcorn popping in a bag. Don't think, let's use our heart tonight. Don't sign off. Stay in. Are you with me? Are you all ready?
Yes.
You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Okay, look at them and make them feel real nervous. Like, look at them like they're special and like God really loves them, whatever that means. Look at them with them mushy eyes like you are so worth this. Are you ready? You got 6 seconds. You ready? Okay, ooh, I got a little timer. I'm going to use it tonight. I never did this. Are you ready? Give them the kingdom. Love them the best you know how. Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Okay, that's good. Start to wrap that up right now. Just start to wind that down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for loving them. Yep. That was quick, wasn't it? I even gave you about 10 seconds. God, that's good. Thank you. Now, if you were prayed for, just thank God He loves you. Thank God He would have never sent His son if He didn't. Thank you, Lord. So begin to check your bodies all over this place. Really check them. Check them sincerely. Don't be rash and quick. And as soon as you know you're healed, go like this. Let me know as soon as you know you're healed. Are you waving your hand? You know you're healed? What were you being prayed for? In the shoulder? Was it bothering you? You weren't able to do certain things? Okay. It's not doing it at all. Wow. That's great. So that's not normal. It was... What was normal was pain right before they prayed. Excellent. So anybody else? Who knows you were healed? Stay with me. Stay with me. Yeah, you know it for sure? Yeah? What happened? Arthritis? You couldn't do that? You couldn't wiggle your fingers like that? How about she had osteoporosis and arthritis? And her fingers weren't working. You couldn't do like this? Can you do fists? You couldn't do fists? No? So you're doing all that right now, and there's zero pain. Wow. It's beautiful. This fella here had a glitch in his shoulder. He couldn't lift it up without pain. He has no pain at all. She had osteoporosis and arthritis in her fingers. She has no pain, and she has a lot of mobility, right? Okay, that's good. So even if your body didn't change, thank God he's a healer. Check it again. Who else? You know you were healed when we prayed. Let me see your hand. Who else? For sure? Yeah, talk, shout it out loud. This is your moment. Preach. Not at all.
Yeah, the back pain is just gone, and it was so bad for 2 weeks. I even went in today to get like a massage, and I was going to go to the chiropractor.
Just today you had stuff done to it because it was bothering you so bad?
Yeah, I took off work to go in and get it. Like
it's completely gone.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, that's great. Who else? Who else? You know you were healed when they prayed. You check your bodies. Who else? For sure? Come on up. Get his testimony. This is important. Participate.
No, I've had 4 shoulder surgeries. I have a arthroplasty, which is, this is not normal anatomy. I have a metal shoulder. And before we even, I had the hands laid on me, my whole shoulder was just tingling. I mean, it still is. It feels just different. It feels like everything's moving around in there. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Okay.
So my range of motion is completely different, though.
So you had metal in there?
Yeah, I had metal in there.
And what was your shoulder like? Like, why would you say, I believe I'm healed? What happened? Like, is it changed? Is it no pain? Do you have mobility? What's going on?
Mobility. I mean, just doing this right here. I mean, I still feel that sensation, but I couldn't do this without having pain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you able to do it, though? You could get it up like that. It just would have hurt. It would have cost you to do that.
Yeah, I mean, even like when we were worshiping tonight, I like a half arm, one of these deals, because I can't raise it all the way up.
Can you go up?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
That's so good. Oh, that's beautiful. Yay. Come on, these are real people. Dry. We made it dry. Yeah. Anybody else? Check your bodies. Come on, so I'm believing some things will even happen while we're talking and while we're checking. Check your bodies. Anybody else? You know your body changed and you're healed. Anybody else? Let me ask you this question. Who didn't raise their hand because you're not 100%, but you know you're definitely better than you were? You just didn't raise your hand. Let me see you. For sure. You know your body's changed at some level. Who would say it's more than 60%? More than 60. Wow. Okay. That's beautiful. Normally, now if I'm in public, I'm just teaching now, and I'm trying to wrap up because I said 20 minutes. If I'm in public and I pray for somebody and they tell me they're 60% better, 40% better, it doesn't matter if it's 20. If they know they're a little better, what do they do usually? They go, whoa, and they're trying to convince me. And when I ask to pray, they're looking at me like I'm like, cuckoo. And then you compel them, and they say, well, okay. And then you pray, and you say, check your body. And they go, whoa, no, really, really? Like, it's a lot better. No, really? Like, they're trying to persuade me, right? So I'm laughing. I'm like, okay, good. That, you don't have to convince me. I'm like, that's what we were believing for. But how much better? Well, it's 60% better. I've never, ever had anyone say, if I said, can we just pray one more time? Let's just thank God for the 60%. Let's just believe the other 40 is just going to follow. That Jesus is a finished work, that he's going to make you whole. Would you? I've never had anybody say, well, no, it's good. 60's fine. If they changed a little bit, they're wide open. So in my life, and I'm just giving you this liberty because I'm closing out the service, turning over to Shannon, because I'll go long and long and long. If your person raised their hand and said that they received change, and you're still around, saw them raise their hand. Let me see your hands again. If you know you've received some change, what I'm saying is, as soon as we close out, why don't you grab them and say, hey, let's thank God for that change. Ask them how much they got, 50%, 70%, 80%, 20%, and then pray, thank God for that, and believe for increase, and watch what happens. Okay, this is the last thing I want to do. Who did we pray for tonight? And nothing changed right up until now. You're still checking, and it's the same as it was when you first stood up. Nothing changed. Let me see your hands. Look around. Is your person still here? And you don't look for another person. Don't look for now. Is your person still here? Look around. Is that your person? Can you stand up for me if you're sitting? Yeah. Is your person still here? Go grab your person. If that's your person, go grab them. We're going to do this quick. Now watch. Now watch. Listen. Does somebody have the man in the back? Who was the guy in the back who was praying for him? Here's what I want you to do. Watch. Let's do a quick 6 seconds. Now watch. Don't change your prayer. Pray the same thing you believed the first time. Don't change your prayer. Don't grab for straws. Don't get into works. Just pray the same thing you prayed the first time, and you just believe he loves you, and let's see what happens in these people. What is it? We're praying for about 8-10 people. You ready? 6 seconds. Go for it right now. Just thank God and pray for that same condition to change. Yeah. These are people that nothing changed, guys. Okay, that's good. That's plenty of time. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Check your bodies real thorough. Check your bodies. This is only the people that nothing had changed. Tell me if anything's changed in anybody. Let me know if anything changed that time. Anything changed that time? Let me see your hand. Anybody? Yeah? That time? And nothing the first time? What's that? Oh, you were saying for before? No. Nothing had changed the first time you were just prayed for, and something changed that time. Anybody? For sure? How much? What happened? 80% and nothing the first time up until now. Okay. But every time they were sharing testimonies, you kept checking and stuff. But that last time we prayed, it got noticeably better.
Yes.
That's awesome. Are you following? So when does faith change? When do we change? Do you see what he's teaching us right now? It's the same faith. It's no less faith. You're believing, and boom. Anybody else? Something changed that time. She did?
Oh, my knees hurt so bad. I can't even get myself up out of a chair.
Yay. Did that just happen? The first time it still was hurting, and you tried it, and all of a sudden we prayed that last time, and boom. Stand up for me again. Oh, Jesus. Who else? I saw some other hands over here. Somebody, nothing changed, and then something changed. Was somebody, did I see a hand? Yeah?
A little bit of mobility in my wrist, not pulled.
Okay. But increase, it got a little better.
Yeah.
That was in his wrist. He's all right. Yeah, he's all right. So do you see what we're learning? So when do you ever let go? When do you ever give up? When? See, here's the Christian's only response when they're prayed for. Whether it's completely healed, somewhat healed, or not changed at all, you all have the same response every time. Thank you, Father, for loving me. I so appreciate what you're doing in my life and in my body. Thank you. When does that ever change? You go to bed that way, you wake up that way, you live that way. Thank you. You get it? Amen.